Bibles to the book of Judges, chapter number 16. The book of Judges, chapter number 16. And if you're familiar with your Bible, the example of failure of temptation was this man by the name of Samson. And I want to preach this text. And there's so much that I could read. We could start at the beginning when his birth was announced, could I say foreordained, and you know, his mother was barren, and we'll talk about that in a moment, and God touched her, and he raised up the 12th judge. As a matter of fact, Samson, I believe, was the final judge. And of course, God raised up judges in Israel to judge the people and to get their heart, their mind, and to lead them back into fellowship with the Lord, to repent of their sin, to walk right. And of course, as you know, as long as that judge lived, they would do right. But as soon as that judge died, they went right back in the status quo against God, worshiping false idols, marrying out of the will of God. I mean, on and on and on. And then God would show mercy again and raise up another judge. And then they'd get right with God. They'd walk with God. Every how many years that judge was there, then he would die. And it was just like a roller coaster ride. And it sounds like us today. It sounds like God's people today. And folks, we all in the same boat. As Taylor mentioned this morning, none of us are exempt from our battles of the flesh, and none of us are exempt from being tempted. Amen. But God will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. But with the temptation also make a way to escape it. In other words, God won't make the temptation disappear, but he'll get you to point A to point B of the temptation, and you don't have to yield to it. Sin shall not have dominion over us anymore. We do not have to sin. We choose to sin. And so Samson, I want to use him. Let's begin in verse 18. And I want to preach on the high cost of living low. The high cost of living low. And this message is from here to here. We're all in the same boat. I may say that again. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart." Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. Folks, money, the love of money, is the root of all evil. Amen. Now, it's not money, it's the love of it. Amen. Amen. The love of money, that's what the Bible says. And Delilah, she was ungodly and she loved money, and it caused much evil. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." And he wished not that the Lord was departed from him. That's an awful place. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and made him bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again. After he was shaven. So again, may the Lord add his blessings. We're very familiar with this text. We may not know much about the other judges in the book of Judges, but most of us know about this one. Because God did many. Of course, God, you ought to study Gideon. If you're going to study another judge, man, what a, he threw them fleeces out, and God kept dwindling down the army. And you know what? He didn't even need the 300. But that's another message. I get caught up in that, we'll forget this. But anyway, we know Samson. He's very familiar. He's very familiar. Now, I want to say something. Samson was a Nazarite. Now, again, a Nazarite was a bond or a covenant that one made with God to cut certain things out of their life, to give their life wholly to the Lord. Now, Jesus was not a Nazarite. He was from Nazarene. That's not the same thing. See, a lot of people get those two confused because they're so close in how they sound and how they spell. But Jesus wasn't a Nazarite. Right. Can I go ahead and say something to make us all smile this morning? Them pictures on the wall, that heap you're hanging up there, that's not him. Right. Let that sink in. That's some thug they found on the street that needed Jesus. Like we all do. But anyhow, I thought about a story about Benjamin Franklin. When he was 7 years old, somebody gave him a little bit of money. And he later saw this boy in town playing with a whistle. He's blowing his whistle, blowing that whistle. And Ben Franklin, he said, man, I'd like to have that whistle. So he gave, I don't know how much money it was, but he gave this boy his money for the whistle. And so he traded the money for the whistle. And he began to blow the whistle. He loved the whistle. The whistle was wonderful. And then he found out that he gave that boy four times what that whistle was worth. And then all of a sudden, that whistle lost its appeal to Benjamin Franklin. He loved that whistle, played it all over the house. But when he found out that he gave four times what it was worth to that other boy, it instantly, the whistle lost every bit of its charm. Folks, us too often, we pay a great price for something that looks good and promises so much, but we find out we have nothing. Folks, I like to fish when I can. I'm not an expert. I don't have a boat. Don't have a fish finder. I know people that do, but I don't. I like to fish, but it's usually from a bank or a dock. But I understand how to catch them. You know, I say this a lot. You know, a lot of people say, well, you need to buy that rod and reel. It's $200. You need to buy that rod and reel. It's $400. You need to buy that, boy, that net there, do it, that to do it, that and the other. Let me tell y'all something about this. That fish in under that water has no idea what kind of rod and reel you got. I've seen old men catch a stringer full with a cane pole. The thing about it is, one advantage is this, is what kind of bait? And that bait is the lure. Some of you guys ever look, because some of y'all are hunters and stuff, but you ever look at different ads for different kind of bait? Bait for crappie, bait for brim, bait for bass, bait for catfish. Catfish eat anything, by the way. They love night crawlers. But anyway, what it is that bait you put on there, you want something on there that you know will appeal to the particular fish that you're trying to catch. And they'll see that shiny lure, and it will get their attention. And when they see it, the first thing they see, it's not how pretty the lure is. They say, that's something to eat. And what they think is going to be their food is going to be used for them to be the food for somebody else. Right. Folks, you understand, Satan puts all kind of things out there. That's right. He knows, but Taylor mentioned it this morning. He knows every weakness that you have. He knows more about you than you know about you. And he's going to throw out there in front of you exactly what he knows that's going to appeal and get your attention. Right. Samson had a problem with women. And the devil made sure he had plenty of women out in front of his eyes for him to attract to, that Satan used to ruin his life. It could be alcohol. It could be drugs. It could be other things. I don't know, and I don't have time to name them all. But hey, what you think is, boy, that's gonna do me good. But Satan is using it as bait to ruin your life. To ruin it. To bring you down. To tear you down. To ruin your life. To completely annihilate you. And it happened to Samson. It happened to the smartest man in the Bible, Solomon. It happened to the most spiritual man in the Bible, David. And it happened to the strongest man in the Bible, Samson. So who do I, and who do you think you are, that, hey, I can handle it? Samson got to a place of pride and arrogance when he paid no attention to wise counsel from his parents and did his own thing and began to believe nothing was wrong with what he was doing. Hey, he even had the mindset, well, I must be okay. It must be right. Because look how blessed I am. Folks, don't confuse the long-suffering of God upon your life as a stamp of approval for your life. Let me say that again, if God helped me do it. Don't mistake the long-suffering of Christ in your life as an approval for your life. He's long-suffering to usward. And His mercies are new every morning, but time will come. Hey, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. So, we find Samson. Samson is a perfect example. He lost everything because he put much value in the sin of his life. He put more value in the sin of his life than he did the God of his life. Get that? He put more value in the sin of his life than he did the God of his life. Right. Folks, I'll be honest with you. I feel like right now, and I'm not just call an altar call. That's convicting. That's a tension getting in my heart. Be careful. Be careful. God told Israel, be sure your sin will find you out. God help us. God help us. Lord help us to look at our sin like God does. And to have the same opinion of it as God does. Come on. Come on. Notice Samson. Let me give you some thoughts here. I want to look at Samson. I think I have three things. I'm finished. Notice, first of all, I want to notice the potential of Samson's life. This is what's a shame. All the potential that God gave him. Folks, there's a verse over there, I think, that says, when much is given, much is expected. When a man's been given much, he'll do much. So now we have the potential of Samson's life. Notice this, I didn't mention this. He was extraordinary in his advent. Now, my time's running out, but we could have turned to chapter number 13. Well, I will. Verse number 2. And there was a certain man of Zorah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, or eat any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. That was Samson. Preacher, what are you trying to say? God took something unbarren and made it bare for a divine purpose. Now, folks, we understand we're not into the dispensation or the time of the judges. But, folks, nobody is here. Nobody is here today by accident. And nobody is here today without a purpose. Nobody. Nobody that's sitting under the sound of my voice, hey, well, maybe I was conceived in this, and hey, I'm telling you, you are here today because God said so. Because God said so. And so we see he was extraordinary in his advent. He was extraordinary in his accomplishments. And again, I could turn to these places, but you can jot it down. You know your Bible anyway. His energies. Hey, he killed a lion with his bare hands in chapter 14. Think about his feats of strength. Some gal's daddy made him mad, and he caught 300 foxes and tied them by their tail, set them on fire, and burnt Gaza's, the Gazites burnt all the crops. Can you catch one? Do you want to catch one? That's what I'm asking. He caught 300. 300 tied their tails together, set them on fire, and turned them loose. Took their livelihood away from them. That ain't all, and you know it. Chapter 16 in our text, at the beginning of our text chapter. You remember when they come to get him? The guy was the Gazites coming to get him, and he took the gates of the city. Don't nobody get excited yet. The two posts and the bars, and carried them up to Hebron on top of the hill. Folks, you understand that all that weighed close to 4 tons, and he carried them on his shoulder almost 36 miles. I couldn't carry 40 pounds that far. Well, that's stopping and getting a Diet Pepsi somewhere. Amen. His enemies. Back in chapter 14, not only his extraordinary advent, his extraordinary accomplishments, but his enemies, he killed 30 Philistines in chapter 14, verse 19. But get this, he killed 1,000 with a jawbone of a donkey. Chapter 15. Killed 1,000 Philistines with just a jawbone of a donkey. Wow. His evidence is he proved he was a man of God by the power of the Spirit that was on his life. Again, and we all say this every time, he didn't stand 7 foot. He wasn't big as like Goliath was. That's why they couldn't figure out where his strength come from. He was just an ordinary sized man. Ever how big an ordinary sized man was in that day? My guess is he's probably about 5'10", weighed about 160 pounds. About what I weighed in third grade. It's all muscle, though. Old me goes there, sister. Forgive me, Jesus. He proved he was a man of God by the power of the Spirit that was on him. Come tell you something. Every Christian here today, do you understand that you have great potential? I just want to stop here and say that. Quit. Folks, Paul said, if we compare ourselves among ourselves, that's not wise. If we compare ourselves among ourselves, that's not wise. Don't do that. Either you're going to think too much of yourself or not enough. Pride, either way. Don't compare yourself among yourselves. Hey, God put you on this earth for a particular reason. You have potential. The question is, are you going to allow God to work it through you? That's the question. Are you going to allow sin to hinder your potential? To hinder God's plan? Come on.
Right.
Folks, I know people that have so much potential, but they just have a problem being faithful. They're not in what we might would call open gross sin, but they just won't be faithful. They won't show up for God to use them. Or they won't be consistent for God to use them. And then they get upset when others are being used and they feel slighted or like they've been done. No, that's not it at all. The potential is there for God to use you, but you just simply won't show up for Him to use you. Oh, it's easy for the preacher to camp out in what we might call open gross sins of things. But hey, it ain't always that way in the Christian life. It could be things in the heart. Every Christian here today has potential. He's saved. Sell out, surrender to God. Sell out, surrender to God. Samson had great potential. Notice secondly, I'm hurrying. But we not only see the potential of Samson's life, the problems of Samson's life. Samson faced, he faced powerful adversaries. Folks, for 20 years, the last verse, I believe it is in chapter 16, Samson judged Israel 20 years. And he faced a lot of enemies in 20 years, but the greatest enemy Samson faced was himself.
Right.
You understand? Oh, the Philistines were strong people. They were bad. They were wicked. They were strong. Hey, but with the power of God, they were nothing.
Right.
I mean, they even knew this guy ain't working within himself. Something has got on him. It was the Holy Ghost. It was the Spirit of God. I mean, I don't care how skillful Big Samson or Little Samson was. In his own strength, he could never defeat 1,000 trained soldiers with the jawbone of a donkey. But when he did it, people stood back and said, whew, I don't know where that power's coming from. Well, we all know where it's coming from. Israel knew where it was coming from God. They didn't know his secret, of course, but they knew it was from the Lord. They knew it was from God. But his problem wasn't, his downfall was not the Philistines. He put himself in a place where the Philistines could get him. Had he kept a life of obedience to God, kept his mouth shut. Folks, you get in the flesh, you liable to put yourself in a bad place. You get to walking in the flesh, you'll put yourself in a place you never dreamed you'd ever put yourself in. And so could I. I quoted, Paul said, in me that's in my flesh dwells no good thing. Put no confidence in the flesh. Why? Because the flesh never got saved when you got saved.
Right.
Your flesh didn't get saved.
Right.
Your flesh is still wicked, still vile, and still ungodly. Your flesh is a liar because it's from Satan. Satan's the liar. Your flesh is a liar. Your flesh tells you can handle it. Hey, look, you're prospering, so that means God don't care. Hey, I repeat again. Don't confuse the long suffering of God with His approval.
Amen.
Samson did that. Samson did that. Folks, mine and your enemy is not each other. Our greatest enemy is not the world, even though they are our enemy. Our greatest enemy is us. I know Satan's our ultimate enemy, but our greatest enemy is our own selves. He faced powerful adversaries. He faced powerful attractions in chapter 14, verse 8 through 10. Folks, you understand, there's three words that describe sin. I'm cutting out and cutting in some of this stuff. There's three words that describe sin. Number one, sins means missing the mark. Missing the mark in God's sight, our shortcomings. Then there's transgressions. To step over boundaries intentionally, breaking the laws that God's commanded. Intentionally. Knowing, Samson knew, that's forbidden me, but he did it anyway. It's transgressions. Sins, missing the mark. Then there's iniquity, means bent or crooked. Bent toward evil. David mentioned all of them in his penance psalm. He talked about them all in Psalm 51. A child of God, a man after God's own heart, he mentioned all. He said, I sinned, I transgressed, and I had iniquity in my heart. Samson didn't come clean with the problems of his life, with the weaknesses of his life. Come on. He didn't come clean, but he didn't take it to God. He didn't talk to the Lord. He didn't admit it. He just indulged in it. He didn't fight against it. He didn't just obey God and ask God for strength and help. He just indulged in it and thought God was all right with it. And after 20 years, you see how long suffering God is? 20 years. Well, if God's going to give me 20 years, I just keep doing it. Who said God's going to give you that long before he dealt with you? These stories in the Bible where they done it, and the next day God done something to them. Be careful. Thirdly, the product of Samson's life. We see his potential, we see his problem, we see his product. What does that mean? There's a lot of losses here that shouldn't have been. Because of his sinfulness and his failures to control his flesh and desires and impulses, Samson paid a horrible price. He lost three things. Number one, he lost his vision. Verse 21, they plucked his eyes out. He lost his vision. He went blind. Sin caused Samson to lose his physical sight. See, what's happening here, God's exposing him publicly now. God dealt with him a long time privately. Now God's exposing him publicly. Are you with me? We together? He's exposing him publicly now. You know one thing I do appreciate about Samson, though? He didn't go to blaming his mom and daddy. They raised him right. They tried to tell him right. Come on. Brother Jett, y'all pray for Brother Jett. They sent him home with hospice. He's pitiful. But he was a barber for 60 years or more. And he cut my hair as long as he cut for over 20 years. He wouldn't take any money. Finally, one day, every time I'd get up, I'd take my billfold out, and he'd say, finally he said one day, preacher, when I want money, I'll ask for money. I said, well, all righty then. And I said, well, Brother Jed, I come every 2 weeks. I don't care if you come every day. But he cut my boy's hair. Same thing. But when Thomas was about to graduate, he said this to him. He said, you about to graduate? Tom said, yes, sir. He said, then you're old enough to pay for your own haircuts. Get a job. Same thing with Taylor. He said, I cut Dr. Carter's boy's hair like that. And he said, I told him the same thing. You know what? He was right. He was right. Yeah, they still went to him. We all cried when he retired. I guess about 88, you can retire. Hey, let me tell y'all something. You grown youngins, your mom did don't owe you nothing. Sure. Grow up. That's right. Be a man. Be a woman. They don't owe you their living. Who you think you are? 30, 40, 50-year-old grown men still expecting mom and daddy to pay their bills. You are pitiful. I wouldn't want nobody to know I was that weak. Hey, it's time you'll be paying some of theirs. Hello? The phone ringing? It's yours. Answer it. One thing I appreciate about old Samson, he didn't say, "Mom and Daddy, I can't believe y'all making me stay in this prison, this dungeon." Hey, Samson knew where he put himself there. He paid the consequences. He lost his vision. He went blind. He lost his vitality. I ain't even looking up. Getting a drink of water. You couldn't ask for that in a million years to happen. Lord just said, "Yeah, you on target, son." He lost his vitality. He was bound. He lost his physical strength. Don't you understand we'll lose spiritual sight and spiritual strength if we walk after the flesh? He lost his victory. He's grinding. Get this. He's grinding the meal. He's grinding corn. You ever thought about why they had him doing that? Y'all only missed this. You ever thought about why they had him doing that? Because back in that day, that was considered women's work. And they used it to belittle him. A man that once had the power of God in his life and he caught 300 foxes. He carried 4 ton on his shoulder, 36 miles. Killed 1,000 Philistines with a jawbone of a donkey. And now they plucked out his eyes. His strength is gone. His vision is gone. And now they're making fun of him doing women's work. They took his masculinity away from him. Can I say it like that? Without offending anybody? That's what the devil's trying to do to me in the day. That's what he's trying to do to you today, man. I'm telling you now. That's what he's trying to do to you today. Better wake up, smell the coffee. He lost his vision, he got blind, he lost his vitality, he's bound, he lost his victory. Grinding. Sin left him humiliated publicly. Publicly. But I know the verse says, "But the hair of his head began to grow again." You know, that's a picture that he got right with God, but he didn't get his eyes back. He did not get his eyes back. He still was exposed in open shame. But God forgave him. God used him again. Hey. Preacher, I don't believe God forgave him. You ain't read Hebrews 11. I wish I had time to tell you about Samson. That's the Hall of Fame of the faith, by the way. That's the Hall of Fame of the faith, by the way. Wish I had. Hey, preacher, you just preached my life. But I'm going to tell you this. I want to preach God's forgiveness and restoration too. He can restore you. Hey, we don't want to end up on a bad note. Hey, you can get right with God. The scars may still be there, but you can still be right with God. And He can use you. You understand that God used him to kill more Philistines at his death than his whole 20 years of leading Israel? You don't have to stay down. A just man falls 7 times and he riseth up again. Hey, get right with God and man up. Realize, hey, don't nobody owe me anything. And I'm going to use what God's given me to live for Him and to run my life and be my own man, my own woman for the cause of Christ and for the Lord and my family. I'm not going to keep gratifying my flesh, and get hit rock bottom and expect, hey, somebody, Take my mom and daddy to keep bailing me out. Hey. Samson got himself in a place where they couldn't bail him out. But it was the best place he could be. He told that lad, said, hey, lead me to the pillars. I'm going to touch the pillars. You know, the first place he went back to was, can we put it in just illustrated, was church. You say, that wasn't a church. Well, the Bible says the church is the pillar and ground of truth. He said, hey, son, get me to the pillars. Get me to the church. He said, I'm going to get back where I'm supposed to be, doing what God put me here for. Hey, you can get there. You can get there. But that's up to you. When he cried out to God, it was all about what he did and begged God for his mercy. He didn't point a finger. God used him again. Hey, God can use you again if you'll let him. Let's all stand. Courtney's coming. Thank you for your patience this morning. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Altar is open, whatever you need.